There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or are you without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment and to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here just for this purpose, to enlighten and empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, good evening, folks. We've got another Wednesday night live broadcast. This is the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. My name is BJ. I'm co-host for Jim Hockaday. He's just been back from Europe. He was in Italy. He was in Manchester, England. He's been all over the place. We'll talk a little about that later in the show. We've talked about, you know, what's really interesting about radio is that it's actually like a conversation where words play an enormous part in this. Like the old-time radio shows before there was television, where they would spend an amazing amount of time on sound effects and elaborating with words on the scene that you would find in like a murder mystery or even an old cowboy show or superheroes, these old radio shows that you hear once in a while on public broadcasting or nostalgic type old-style radio station. Words have meanings. And the way you give the words infliction, I was talking to someone a couple days ago, a real good friend of mine, and they said, you sound angry because you'll be talking and then all of a sudden you'll take one word and you'll put emphasis on it. And, well, it's radio. It's a little dramatic. No, I'm not angry. I really don't care about anything at all. Why? Because I found God. What do you care about after you found that? But it's a way you say things that we've talked about before. You can say, I love you. You mean something to me. Or you can say, I love you. You mean something to me. Now, where is the power? Where's the intent? Is it in those words, in those phrases, or is it in the tone of your voice? And what propels your voice and the tone of your voice to do that? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about words. Jim has written a letter under For Your Consideration. I penned one myself that has to do with words. We may not be able to cover this in one broadcast because there's a lot of things that you need to consider. How many times have you heard the word of God when in reality it had nothing to do with God? It was just words. And how many times have you heard the word of God and it was, and you dismissed it because maybe you weren't really seeing the feeling and the intent behind what you were hearing? This is a very interesting show. I don't want to confuse you, but I want to make you think. Because words, whether they're written, spoken, on television, or on the internet, such as this radio show, ladies and gentlemen, are going to change your ability to have your prayers answered, whether you have salvation or whether, for lack of a better word, you missed the boat. Right, Jim?
Sounds really good. That's going to be a good show, everyone. BJ's done a great job of introducing the topic of where we're going. It's really interesting, but there's so much happening around us that it's easy to get caught up in missing the meaning and the purpose and the intent behind the words that are spoken. So much of that is done in this unnatural world that we're in. And if you'll think about it, there are so many words that have double meanings. In fact, so many different meanings can be applied to words that we actually lose respect for the word itself. BJ, I was thinking about a word as I was leaving my neighborhood and looking at the pansies that flowers, folks, pansies. Why would I even have to clarify that? Because there's different.
I wanted you to, because since you said pansies, I was all about, yeah, you had to.
You had to clarify that for me.
because I was all about it. Yeah.
Well, really, think about this. I went out of the neighborhood and I saw these freshly planted pansies at the end of the neighborhood. And I thought, well, how ironic that we're going to talk about words, because in my day, pansy represented someone who was weak, that wouldn't stand up for themselves. And we'd say, you're a pansy. And yet, when you think of pansies, the flower, they are the strongest little things you've ever seen in your life. I mean, you could dump 10 feet of snow on them all winter long, and in the sunshine of spring, they come up happy as a lark, and they're there all winter long. So,
well, that might be, but I'm telling you, they'll never be pansies on the ranch. I don't care how hardy of a plant they are.
That's okay. This was in a neighborhood. Okay.
The ranch is a no pansy zone. I just want everybody to know that.
I didn't bring any to the ranch, if you noticed. So, by the way, though, it's interesting when you look at words, and I brought that up just to show you how that the world has taken words and interchanged thought and meaning, taken the container of the word itself, used it and misused it, and you think, well, that's just the world. However, folks, what we're always wanting to share with you, and again, we're not trying to get negative in any way, shape, or form. We're just endeavoring to show you how the world has, well, for better a better way of saying it, has dumbed down our spiritual condition in Christ. We are one with Jesus Christ when you know the Lord. We are righteous as we're ever going to be. But your spirit will never find expression like it ought to if we allow ourselves to be so intertwined, entangled by a world system that's set up to magnify everything that is tangible and dismiss everything that is of the Spirit. So there's purpose and there's reason behind what we're saying. This is really going to be a great show. And in a little bit, when we have chance, I'm going to give you some really good word that's going to show you some things right from the lips of Jesus, how this all applies. BJ, give us some thoughts.
Well, I want to give people some examples. You'll find these in the For Your Consideration page if you go to the show's website, www.theabidingpresence.com. You'll see where you can follow the bar where all the icons are, and you'll see theories, pages, and you'll see For Your Consideration. I want to give you some examples, and there are a lot of you that listen to this show that will really relate to this. I remember when I was real young in the 60s, everybody had a one-hour variety show. They were really big. Andy Williams had one. There was a Mitch Miller one. There was Carol Burnett had one.
Yep.
Dean Martin had one.
Dean Martin.
These were all one-hour variety shows. I mean, they were like over the roof popular.
Yeah, very good.
And they all had holiday shows, Christmas shows, Thanksgiving shows, Easter shows. Every big movie and television star made guest appearances on these shows. I remember my grandparents watching these. Okay. Well, back then, there was a lot of songs that were sung from the 40s and 50s. And the word gay, G-A-Y, meant happy. Happy and gay. One of the most renowned of all sing and dance bands, Gene Kelly, singing and dancing in the rain.
Right.
There's a lyric in there that says, I'm happy and gay.
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah.
Okay. That's only, I think that was filmed and recorded in the 40s. Okay. This is 2011. 60 years, ladies and gentlemen, in less than 60 years, one of the most well-respected, most noticeable videos and songs ever, still in black and white, they won't mess with it and put color to it, has taken a word that meant happy and gay, singing in the rain, and now it describes something that some people find completely disgusting and deplorable. Negative energy didn't do that. Man did that.
Yeah.
We did that on our own. Without any motivation from God, any motivation from devil, Satan, negative energy. We just did it in 60 years. Okay, we're over 2,000 years old, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think we've done to the words in the Bible? How we've taken scripture and manipulated it into unbelievable, unlivable, unacceptable doctrine.
Well, think of all the wars that are fought between denominations that say, well, this is doctrinal, and you say, no, that's not correct. This is what it says, and we fight back and forth. I mean, great wars have been fought over certain topics, whether it's true or whether it's not true.
I I don't have serious discussions of a personal nature or a business nature through internet, through email.
Mm-hmm.
I will with Skype because you can see the person and see their face and their voice, but I don't text message. I don't even like to have really serious messages on a cellular phone. I like to see people's, I want to look into their eyes, seeing if they're telling the truth or if they're lying to me. And there's a lot of miscommunication, a lot of arguments, a lot of marriages, a lot of really nice, loving relationships are completely destroyed for no other reason than miscommunication because of only words and no feelings behind it because of text messaging and emails.
It gets worse because of text messages
and
emails.
Yes, there's nothing good of this world.
Right.
And people don't understand that. They think that this is the information age. Well, I'm sorry. It isn't. This is the information blackout age.
Yeah.
Because information is getting lost to convenience and technology, and accuracy is dropping like a safe out of an airplane. I mean, to take a word like gay in a song that meant happy for over 100 years. I'll give you another one. I remember this. I use this all the time, and people just say, "Well, really, really?" And they says, "Well, I didn't know that." And I remember I was building fence. My grandfather, he would say, "You know, this fence is off." And I would hear people say the door doesn't shut right. It's crooked. The window is crooked.
Uh-huh.
And people would say it's a little queer, it's a little strange, because that's what it meant. Nowadays, gay and queer mean
the same thing basically.
Yes, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Because originally one meant something strange or odd, and the other one meant I'm really happy.
Really happy.
And now they mean something completely different that people are ashamed to say. I'm sure that there's at least a certain percentage of the listeners that says, I can't believe that cowboy just used those words and is justifying them. Well, I'm not justifying the words. I'm justifying the intent behind the words.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Folks, you got to get past the vowels and the syllables and the nouns and the verbs and the adjectives. You got to get past the alphabet. You have to get to the intent, to the feeling behind the words.
Yeah.
Because if you can't perceive how to get behind the intent and the feeling of a word, then I have news for you. The Bible isn't just going to be unfulfilling. The Bible is going to be boring.
Yeah.
And the Bible is going to be useless. And all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself with not one single prayer answered, with no sense of the grace of God,
mm-hmm.
or knowing that you're saved at all, because you'll be in a room by yourself, and you'll say, you know, I listened to those two guys on the internet. I'm going to church, and people seem to have a feeling of glory and happiness and love, and I gotta fake it because I'm not getting it.
Right.
And you know what? That has to do with getting past what a word is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope everybody sees in what BJ's sharing, because there's so much truth to it. If you'll take just a moment to really allow yourself to meditate the thought that he's given you, that the examples that he's given you, look at how well it really does apply to the Word of God, how easy it would become to lose respect for the things that are being said because we've never allowed the meaning of the words to penetrate our heart. And this is one of the reasons why we can, well, think about it this way. I'll jump ahead for just a moment. Isn't it interesting how that prayers can be prayed with such eloquence? I mean, every word articulated perfectly. Even the voice inflection seems so professional. And you would just swear, if any prayer was going to be answered, this prayer was going to make it. And I'll tell you right now, I'll go out on a limb to say probably 99.9% of those prayers never work, because all they are is words and there's no meaning behind it. Even if somebody tries to be passionate about what they're saying, there's a difference between believing what you're saying, having experienced what you're saying, and saying it alone. And so we're trying to help you folks to just see the difference between what we have existed in for so long. And let me go out on a limb again to say this. We've got to be real careful, because in the last 30 years, we have really emphasized words. We've really emphasized what we would call the Word of Faith movement. And I think it's wonderful. So many good things have been given to us. But in the midst of it, is it possible that we've been caught up with words and we never really found the meaning? In fact, I remember somebody asking me on their, basically their deathbed, they were still functional, but they called me specifically to ask me one question. I'm going to tell you the things that I'm confessing. Would you tell me whether or not my confession is good? Now think about what was just asked me. Tell me whether my confession is good. In other words, the words that I'm saying, do they sound right? Well, how in the world does words sound right unless they come from a heart that's convinced that it's so? And all you got to do is ask yourself a question. Are the words that I'm speaking and the actions I'm portraying, do they actually meet up? Do they actually coincide? Do they work together? Or am I saying one thing and actually doing everything in what we'd call this earth or the fleshly realm that's contrary to the words I'm speaking? And if that's the case, folks, if you find yourself there, then what we need to do is, the word repent isn't a bad word. It just means change your thinking and let's go the other direction. Let's change our thinking about Jesus and see this wonderful finished work that he applied on the cross and has given us the right for all sin to be forgiven. So by the grace of God, we can experience his best at all times. That means we can shift from being someone who just takes words and speaks them to being someone who has meaning and feeling and intent. And this is the reason why this show, and I believe one more show is necessary to cover some of this territory. There's some things I want to share with you, especially even the next show. And I think you'll be excited as we finish this one, that will really help you to find what meaning really is, where it comes from, and how to hook into it.
I want to give you folks an example that I think will help you, because so many people around the world enjoy animals and have some type of pet or another. And we give our pets actually more rationale and more of a thought process than they're actually capable of. I am so profoundly guilty of this at the ranch. I mean, the horses know their names. They know stop, go, forward, back, side, pass. The dog, even the barn cats listen to me. And
even the fish, BJ.
Even the fish. They say, please stop shooting the turtles in the pond. But this is the point I'm trying to make, is that I'm going to give you, I've used my dog, my chocolate Labrador Retriever. If you go to the theory section, you'll see the Ranger theory, and that's the premise of my dog. I'll give you an example. I do this to people when I try to explain to them. They'll say, well, I don't know what you mean, how words don't mean anything, and you have to get past the word and get to the tent. And I'll say, okay, I'll show you exactly what I mean. Well, there are a lot of words that sound like Ranger that are close to it. And there's a lot of words that are like sit, stay, and come. Well, you can train a dog to sit and roll over by saying toaster oven or microwave oven. That sounds completely crazy, but it really isn't. Because they're a lower form of life, and it isn't so much about what the word describes. It's more about what the word means to them and what has been taught to them about the word. Because if you take a baby straight from the hospital, and its parents might be from Germany. They might be part of Fred's congregation in Germany. And they have German parents, and the parents only speak German. But yet, the baby is born in South America. Well, I promise you, the parents may never learn to speak Spanish. But as that baby matures and starts going to grade school and junior high school, that baby will be fluent in Spanish.
Sure.
Because of its environment.
Right.
Well, it's the same with training horses and dogs and other animals. They respond to the sound. Do they get a gift of love? Do they receive punishment? Is there violence associated with a particular sound or tone of a person's voice? Because I can look at Ranger and I can say no, and she'll kind of look at me. But if I say no, I've increased volume.
Right.
I've increased intent.
Yep.
Now, we just proved to you with just a couple of inane words that how in less than 60 years they've been changed to mean something completely different that they never meant before, until somebody decided to make someone else feel bad, which, by the way, is a sin. Hello, negative energy. Now take it times 2,000, because God likes math. And the mathematic equation isn't always a positive one. It can be extremely negative.
Right.
Now, over a 2,000-year period, who has taught who to believe what is spiritual and what is doctrine?
Right.
Who's taught who to believe how to pray, why you pray, should you pray?
Sure.
And a perfect example of the misuse of words is if you have cable TV or you have satellite television, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can find a channel where there is a man, woman, or child or teenager behind a wooden pulpit on a stage with a big, big instrumental band behind them, and they're telling you, they're giving you the impression with words that you're in trouble and they're the only ones that can help you. And since they're the only ones that can help you, the only way they can help you is if you take money and offer it and send that to them, and then they will have a team of people that will pray for you because that's the only way it's going to work, and you should be grateful for the fact that you tuned in when you did.
That's good.
Now, everything about that is wrong. Is there anything wrong with the words? No, they're intangible. They are an alphabet. And point of interest, they're only words intangible in an alphabet in North America. Because if you go to China, it'll be in Chinese. If you go to Japanese, it'll be in Japanese. So it can't be about the words. It can't even be about how to pronounce the words, because then the world wouldn't have all these languages.
Yeah.
It has to be about the motivation.
Right.
It has to be about the intent on what you are doing.
Got a real good example for
right?
you, BJ.
I mean,
yeah. Listen to this example. You'll love it. I don't think you've heard this before. John Lake, John G. Lake, as they called him back. In fact, they called him Dr. Lake because he had so many people healed back in the 30s and 40s, actually probably back in the 1910 to about 1940. But anyhow, he quoted a story, and I'm going to do my best to not butcher this, but I'll certainly get the point across. He quoted a story, and it was really good, about a young man who was just starting out in the military and had no rank or real position. And when he arrived, they were practicing their war games. And so they'd line up against each other in their foxholes and basically portray war in action. And very interesting. I think it's kind of funny if you can use your imagination to see this. Someone used a bugle and made a particular sound on the bugle. And this guy hadn't been there for very long, so he didn't know all the different sounds and what the sounds actually meant. And so as soon as he heard that sound, he took off running with his gun in his hands and took off running for the other side, just yelling and screaming at the top of his lungs, going for it. And, of course, you know, everybody stopped him, and they asked him, they said, "What in the world are you doing?" He said, "Well, I didn't know what that bugle was saying, but the way it was played seemed to make me feel like I ought to just go for it." Now, that's a perfect example. Is here's a bugle that doesn't have really distinction, and yet the meaning behind it was so powerful, it moved this man. And so I want to share something with you because, again, when we're sharing some of these things, I always want to make you sure you realize we're not taking a negative approach to things. We're helping you to see how the world has entrapped us, because you'd say, "Well, words don't mean anything." Well, God's word does. God says what he said, what he means, and he means what he says. And the word is full of descriptions of how when Jesus speaks and God speaks, that word means what it says. Why? Because God's intent and meaning is in his word. So I've got some good things to share with you in just a minute, BJ.
I just got an email on one, not on the show site. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to chime in with an email, this would be a great show to do it.
Sure.
Just go to the show's website, www.theabidingpresence.com, and you'll see where it says contact the show. Send us an email. And remember, folks, like I say every week, if you do not want me to mention your name or the town you're from, just say, "Please don't mention my name, but you can read this on the air. Just let me know." I just got an email on one of my personal email sites from someone who knows me and listens to the show. And this is interesting. It says, "Question to you both. There have been so many translations of the Bible over the centuries. How do we know what we are reading is the actual word of God or just someone's idea of what they think God meant? Are they God's words or man's words? That's such a great question.
It is a great question.
And I know she doesn't want her name mentioned on the air, but this is a sharp woman.
Yeah.
She's got a good head on her shoulders.
Yeah.
Can you answer this for her?
Yeah, I can. First of all, it's not as though the word of God can't be interpreted correctly. And that's why I'm trying to help you to see something here with God and how God spoke. Now, is it possible that man has interpreted through his incorrect understanding of words and made misconceptions of what God was saying? Absolutely. That's the reason why we're sharing some of these things, to help us to get off the train ride where words are so important, but there's no meaning behind it. We don't want to pray any more good prayers that have no answers. I mean, how many would agree with that? And I think I can see through the radio waves and everybody's got their hand up, because that's one of the things that everybody is just literally fed up with right now, is our prayers ought to work. Well, I'll have to save what I'm going to say for later. I want to answer this question and get more specific.
Yeah, please.
Okay. All the different translations that are out there, number one, there's different ways to look at the Word of God. And when you see something in the Word once, you need to see that same thought more than once to just carry the end result in one specific passage. So in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. What are we saying by that? The Word ought to be able to actually identify itself through other scriptures. You'll find that there's things that are spoken about as types and shadows in the Old Testament that you'll find in the New Testament. In fact, when you see in the Old Testament names of God revealed, how do you know that the words that we interpret, let's say Jehovah Rapha, the self-existent one who reveals or manifests himself as, I am your great physician. Okay, that's what the meaning is of that word. Well, how do we know that that's accurate? Well, Jesus is the expression of God. So did Jesus heal all that came to him and were willing to be healed? The answer is yes. Who are the ones that Jesus was unable to heal? Those who were not willing to be healed. So you begin to interpret Scripture with Scripture. And when you look at different translations, in fact, I've got a book that has the best of 300 translations in there. Doesn't mean there's 300 for every word or every scripture, and I don't have every scripture there, but I have a compiling of scriptures that shows different ways of saying things. But here's the interesting thought. They all carry the same meaning. So where you might want to twist one word, if you'll look at four or five translations, you can find that here's what the meaning is saying. And if you can find it for one scripture, then you ought to be able to go to other scriptures and come up with the same meaning. So, BJ, really, there's one of the best answers for her.
Yeah, I like that. That was good, and I like her question. I hope we get more questions on the show through people emailing us. You know, the thing that's interesting about all this is these words is that I don't want to confuse people, and I know that right now some people are being confused by this, because they're saying, okay, because there's the Word of God, and we're saying don't buy into just the Word, and that would be real easy for someone to really get tangled up in, and I can actually see someone listening to the show tonight, or you know, the show loops for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week until next Wednesday night's live broadcast again. I can see where someone would say, you know, okay, wait a minute, you're losing me. Because you two guys are saying it's about the emotion, the intent, and what someone is trying to use the word, because basically a word is a tool. What are you doing with that tool? I mean, a hammer is a hammer until you pick it up to swing it in somebody's head.
Correct.
Then all of a sudden, it's a deadly weapon.
Right.
And I mean, a chainsaw is really handy to have until somebody's chasing you around Texas with it. And then all of a sudden you got a world famous movie. Well, it's the same with a word. A word is nothing until it's put to use, until it's given a motivation and direction. How does this not apply to the Word of God? Because someone can get really tangled up here.
Yeah. Well, again, I want to make a statement here, and I think you're going to find it to be true for every show that we've had so far and the shows that we will have. When we share these things with you, if your mind kind of goes tilt a little bit saying, wow, okay, that's deep. Okay, wait a minute, back up for a moment. You may think it's deep, but the real fact is it's simple. And these things we're saying are simple. It's as simple as saying, if we get lost in words, we'll put more value on whether or not I'm saying the right thing than we do understanding that there's meaning. When BJ was talking about words, you know, they have meaning. It could be like a hammer. Here's another way of saying it. A word is a container. Many of you out there have heard this before, but a word is a container. Well, what's inside the container? The life, the breath, the meaning, the purpose, the feeling, the emotion of God. For what? For that word received into a heart, because the word of God is an incorruptible seed. We understand that from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 to 25, where the word of God is an incorruptible seed. Well, what's a seed? Well, the seed may look however it looks on the outside, but what's inside that seed is life. And if you'll plant it in soil, which represents the human heart, something's going to grow from the inside out. God's word has the potential of literally changing your life, but let's not get lost in the way that we viewed words to the point where we take the world's conception of words and the twisting of meaning and thought and bring that over into the Bible, where we've just lowered the value of the meaning behind what God says. In fact, I'm gonna go ahead and take just a second to give another thought. I think this will go along with what BJ's saying. Over in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, God said, "Let there be light." What was he doing? Well, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So what was he doing? He was creating. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says that by the word of God, things that are not, or things that are visible, were made with things that are not visible. So how did God make the earth? He used containers and put invisible glory, power, meaning, purpose, a blueprint inside of words. And when he released those containers, which is words, the meaning created the world. So think about it. When God said, "Let there be light," let there be light, that phrase is just the wrapper to the candy bar. The candy bar is the meaning and the purpose, the intent, the anointing, the Spirit of God, everything that had the ability to create. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 63, and I'll stop here in just a moment because I'll share some of these things here in just a few moments from now. But listen to this verse and you'll catch the meaning of what we're saying. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and my words are life." So what kind of value did Jesus give to his words? They came from the absoluteness of God's purpose. So how important was it if Jesus said something that the meaning behind what was spoken actually came to pass? And my friends, that's one of the secrets to answered prayer. And that's one of the reasons why we've taken into the Word of God our lack of understanding, our distortion of words, our inability to appreciate meaning and purpose and intent and feeling, that we've lost the power of the Word. And if you'll all remember, Paul made reference and he said, if you've got religion that denies the power, in other words, someone's saying something, but there's no power, that's called religion. And folks, we're full of religion in the world, and it's time for us to come out of that. BJ?
You know, talking about meaning and intent with, and the words really aren't what's important, it's almost like what happened to me at the grocery store with the Leslie prayer.
Yeah, that's a great story. Tell that.
Because I feel so stupid.
No, I'm serious.
I do. I feel
it's really great because it worked.
Okay. Here's what the deal is. There's see, I'm choking because I hate this story. Okay, here's a story. This is the Leslie story, ladies and gentlemen. Let's give it a title because that's about all it is to me. It's a story. All right. There's a really nice, super big, large, everything under the sun grocery store in a really nice suburb of Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's a bit of a drive from the ranch, but they've got stuff that the other local grocery stores don't have. So every once in a while, I actually hose my boots off so I don't track mud in this elite grocery store. So anyways, I'm in this elite grocery store, and I'm in a checkout line, and there's a really nice, well-dressed couple because everybody is better dressed than I in the whole building. And they're talking about Leslie. how the prognosis is not good.
Right.
Leslie isn't doing good. Leslie isn't eating. She's still very young. She's just juvenile, and it's a shame that somebody so young is basically got one foot in the grave and the other foot on the banana peel, and they're really upset, and the doctor didn't give much hope, and Leslie isn't eating, and Leslie isn't drinking water, and they're hoping that maybe some of the stuff they bought in this fancy-smancy grocery store that maybe Leslie will eat. And I'm just listening to this, and I'm going back and forth thinking, okay, I'm in my horse clothes. I'm in ranch clothes. I mean, I look like I probably should have a sign that says, you know, ride horses for food or something.
Right.
Look like a street bum. And I'm thinking, I'd really like to interrupt and ask them if they believe in God, if they would like to pray with me. And I'm thinking, you know, they're just going to think I'm like trying to steal their crackers or something.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, I need to mind my own business and I need to just pray for Leslie. And so this is literally what I said. I says, look, I don't know who Leslie is. I'll never meet her. This just sounds like a really sad story. And why don't you allow Leslie to eat and be healed? You got really nothing else to do. It's just going to take you a second. And, oh, yeah, thank you very much. Amen. And that was literally, well, you know my prayers.
Right.
That's
right.
Actually a fancy prayer for me.
Sure, that's a long one.
And I said, it's done deal. And I thought, you know, I just wanted to say, excuse me, Leslie's going to be fine. I just prayed for her. And I thought, you know, they're going to think I.
Right, right.
Know, I hit the, I was hitting the cooking sherry aisle, and I thought, no, I'm just going to mind my own business. So I check out, and I'm putting my stuff in the truck, and I'm talking to my dog Ranger, and, you know, and I'm just thinking, you know, I'm glad I could help Leslie, and I'm so confident that I've helped Leslie. And all of a sudden, here comes these people, and they're parked on the same parking lot aisle as I, and they open up this SUV. And I hear this man say, oh, Leslie, I sure hope you feel better soon. And I'm thinking, at least I get to see Leslie.
Yeah.
It's a weenie dog. Now, I don't know what you call a weenie dog, but to me, they're weenie dogs.
Yeah.
They look like a hot dog with toenails. I feel bad for them. They're low to the ground.
They grew the wrong way.
they bark at me a lot. Ranger looks at him and says, is that a dog or a sandwich?
Right.
You know? And I just, it's a weenie dog. And they're loving all over Leslie. And they go, here, Leslie, just try this. She opens it up and she gives this dog this really fancy food from the deli counter in this grocery store. And Leslie is just chowing down.
Devouring it.
She's devouring the food. They got bottled water. They open up a bottled water and she's tanking up on it. I mean, she's acting like she's been starving to death because
right.
she has.
Sure.
And this lady, folks, I'm telling you the truth. I am so conflicted because I'm thinking, I am such an idiot. I prayed for a weenie dog. I don't even know what a weenie dog is about. And then I'm thinking, but it was answered.
Yeah, sure. That's good.
I thought I was praying for one of Jerry's kids, some little girl with blonde hair. And I thought maybe Leslie would like a ride on a horse. This little dog would scare the heck out of the horses. And I'm thinking, I didn't even know what I was praying for.
Yeah.
I just knew in my heart that I could pray.
That's
I knew
right
that
there.
My prayers were always answered.
Yeah.
And I knew I was going to help Leslie.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was a weenie dog.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling like an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm feeling foolish. And these people are saying, oh, we're blessed. It's a miracle. And I'm thinking, it's my fault that there's another weenie dog in the world.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, this is so wrong.
Yeah, but to them, they're loving it because you helped their dog.
And these people look across the way, and here's a big four-wheel drive truck, big long-haired cowboy, and a huge 85-pound chocolate Labrador retriever looking at him. And they're probably thinking, okay, he's going to drive over our SUV with a truck, he's going to beat me up, and his dog is going to eat our dogs. This is really a bad person.
Right.
And I'm thinking, and
not
I'm going,
not knowing you prayed.
No, and they said, oh, we're just happy because our dog was going to die, and all of a sudden it's a miracle and it's eating. And I'm thinking, well, that's nice. And I get in my truck and I'm thinking, you know, God is laughing his britches off.
He's loving that.
Well, I never would write this in a letter or a theories, and I would never bring it up, but I must admit with so much regret, you can't believe, folks, but it goes to my thought and my intent.
Yes. Yeah.
Because my thought and intent was Leslie is a small little girl,
yeah.
6, 8, 10 yeah. years old, something that would break my heart.
Yeah.
And I just don't want her to die. I know
she
doesn't have to die.
That's good.
That I can help her, and it has nothing to do with me.
Right.
It has to do with God. And all I got to do is ask him. Why? Because all prayers are answered.
Yes.
And little do I know that the Holy Spirit is getting great amusement over this because he says, yeah, well, you asked.
Right.
And you believe.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
Welcome, your prayer worked.
Welcome to Weenie Dog Heaven.
Yeah, that's really good. I want to take this.
But you have scripture to back this up.
Yeah, I do. And
see, that's what's wrong. See, this is just wrong.
Why?
Because there's scripture backing up the fact that that's, I didn't even know I was praying for a weenie dog.
I'm sorry, but it's all in here. In fact, there's actually one scripture that says a cowboy's going to pray for a weenie dog.
Folks,
tell him it's okay.
Help me out here. Somebody's got to send an email and support me on this because I feel funny.
Well, listen to this word. It's really, really good. And you know, it's really cool when you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John together. If I gave you the technical term, which really means nothing, but it's the synoptic gospels. It just means there are so many areas where Matthew, Mark, and Luke especially, and John some, were writing about the exact same story, but they're seeing it from a different perspective. And so Mark said about the parable of the sower, where Jesus was talking about the word of God being sown, and he said the word of God is like a seed. And the soil is a man or woman's heart. And the word of God is sown. And obviously, what's the purpose of the seed being sown if it's not to produce some type of harvest? There's something inside the seed. And when that seed gets planted into ground, if it'll die first, there'll be a harvest. So we know that, and we don't need to get into farming right here, but there's a great principle about farming that's extremely important. And I love what takes place because as Jesus is explaining this and has gone through the four different type of soils, given definition to each one, toward the end, he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. Notice the words, what he said, take heed what you hear. The reason why I want you to pay attention to that is because I'm going to come over to Luke. This is Dr. Luke, and it's chapter 8, and it is, chapter 8 and verse 18. And so here we had Mark chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus said, take heed what you hear, and notice what Luke records Jesus saying. He says it a little differently. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. So, folks, getting right to the heart of it, because I don't know exactly how much time we have left with this show, although
we got about 16, 17 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to take all that time, but I do want to share with you right here, because next week you're going to really, really love how we're going to pull this together.
We're going to have to do another show.
We will.
I wasn't sure, but we're not making any ground.
And you know what?
I'm glad but we're not.
I'm glad you gave the Leslie example, because you were fretting about that in your house. Like, there's no way you could do that. And so that takes a lot to do that over the air. And I think there's about 800 people that are listening now. So anyhow.
There's no emails supporting me. I keep looking. And
you won't find any because I'm giving word for it. Okay. So here's what I want you to look at. When I repeat the words in Mark that says, take heed what you hear, listen closely. What you hear is content. In other words, that would be for someone that needs healing. By his stripes, you were healed. That's the content. But notice how Luke backs this up. When he says, take heed how you hear, folks, that comes down to meaning. That's intent. So, in other words, it's not just about the content alone. It's about the meaning that backs up the content. All right, I'm going to have to give you this a little bit differently, but I think you're really going to understand it when you hear God himself speak through Isaiah the prophet, and he said this. He said in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, and he said it this way. He said, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not, but it waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. All right, if we stop right there, let me ask you, what's the purpose of the rain coming down and the snow from heaven? It waters the earth. What's the water good for? Water will do what? It'll cause seeds to bring forth and to bud, that we may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. What's that called? That's called harvest. So what's God describing here? His word is like a seed that's going to have to bring forth a harvest. God's not going to be content unless his word comes to pass as he spoke it. And again, put two things together when you hear this. Not just the content, but the meaning behind the content. The next verse says this, "So shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it." Well, this is really good, and I've got some other translations. It says it this way in Young's translation. In fact, this goes right to, listen to the email. For those of you that, or for the one that sent that really nice email about translations, listen to a couple of these translations and how they support what the word really means. It says here in Young's translation, "So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It doesn't turn back unto me empty, but it does go, and it hath done what I desired." In other words, it has accomplished what I desire. "And prosperously it affects the thing for which I sent it." I'm going to give you another translation. It's hard to read when you're reading some of the old Elizabethan English. Your these and thous and all that can get mixed up. But here's Knox's translation. "So it is with the word by these lips of mine once uttered." This is God speaking. "It will not come back an empty echo. All my will it carries out, speeds on its errand." In other words, God's word is on an errand. It's on an assignment. For what, folks? To be accomplished. God's word will not go out into the earth without coming back with full prosperity, meaning an accomplishment of the meaning behind what God says. Now, here's a very sad point. BJ might want to get involved in this, but here's a very sad point, and that is, do you know, BJ, God's word will prosper. It will be fulfilled. Here's the sad part.
Absolutely.
Not everyone is going to have that word fulfilled in their heart. And the heart is the soil.
Yeah.
So every heart has the potential of producing what God's intention, but not everyone is going to allow that to happen. That's the sad part.
I had a real big, I wasn't. He was pretty fired up, and so was one of his nuns. You know, I talk to a Catholic priest a lot. I'm not Catholic, but he just likes my point of view, and, you know, he thinks it's interesting. And, you know, he thinks it's funny that I can tell him how many square bales of hay I could fit in his church, you know, stacked to the rafters.
Right.
If I could move the pews and the confessional out of the way. But anyways, we were talking about this. And he says, okay, says, salvation is available to everybody. And I said, it is. I says, they have it. It's a done deal.
Yeah.
I says, all they have to do is say, it's mine and I want it. But the problem lies in it, and it has a lot to do with words.
Yes.
It really does, because, I think what I'm going to do is tie in what I told you before the show. I said, if you're in a parking lot and somebody is up in a tower with a high-powered rifle and they start shooting people and you're one of the people that gets shot and you die, well, how can you be held accountable for being in the wrong place at the wrong time? You were just walking to your car. You had no idea there was a man in a tower that was going to start shooting people indiscriminately with a rifle and a scope. You are a victim.
Yes.
You're basically an innocent victim. Well, there are hundreds and hundreds of millions of people over the 2,000 years of our civilization and worldwide society that are innocent victims of wrong words.
Yes.
The wrong message. They've been ministered, pastored, preached doctrine on a complete path that leads nowhere except for down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it their fault? No. Can anything be done about it? Yes, it's simple, but it isn't going to be easy for them because they don't know that it is wrong.
Right. And yet, even as the scripture declares, God put so many signs and wonders in this world to give us an idea that he exists, that no one's going to be able to stand before him without having accountability to the fact that you could have made right choices.
It's almost like a really sad, ironic, perverse joke, but it comes in many forms. I'm just going to make this really quick. It's about the dam is breaking and the town is being evacuated, and there's this guy in his house. And it's all over the television about how you need to evacuate the town and that the dam's going to break and all this water's going to wash the town away like flushing a toilet. Well, he gets tired of hearing about it on the television, so he says, I'm going to listen to music. Well, he turns on his radio, and it's all about the flood coming, the dam breaking, leave now or die, peril, town's going to get washed away, dam right. breaking, blah, blah, blah on the radio. Well, he turns the radio off. Well, then he goes upstairs, and he starts playing his piano. Well, then all of a sudden over a loudspeaker, here comes a police car, and they're saying, evacuate your homes, leave now, blah, 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 everything's going to get washed away. Well, the water starts to rise. He's on the second floor of his house, and he's looking out, and a boat comes by. And these guys say, well, come on, get in the boat. We'll save you. And he says, no, I'm just going to stay right here. Everything's going to be fine. I'm just not sure if I really believe all this. Well, haven't you seen the signs? He says, no, I'm going to be okay. Okay, well, next he's on his roof, and a helicopter comes by. And the helicopter says, we're going to throw a ladder rope down, climb up, it will save you. You don't have to drown. He says, my house is going to be fine. I'm just not buying all this. This is just ridiculous.
Right.
I'm going to ignore it. Okay, next thing you know, there he is. It's St. Peter's Gate.
Yes.
And he says, why, to Jesus, he says, why did I drown? Why did you let me die?
Right.
And Jesus says, we tried to tell you on the television, you turned it off. We tried to tell you by the radio, but you turned it off. We sent a police car, and you dismissed it. We sent a boat, and you dismissed it. And then we sent you a helicopter.
Right.
And you dismissed it. And you ask us why you drowned and you're dead?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you're questioning why you're not going to be able to come through the gates? Think about that story, folks.
Yeah.
How many times in your life have you had a simple choice and you chose wrongly? And I'm going to ask you a more important question. Now that you're listening to Jim Huckaday and you're thinking about things and you're wondering if you've been going to a church or have you spent your whole life wasted in a building with just words and the wrong message. Now that you know this, how simple is it to make a right choice?
Yes.
And say, I know now. Because this is the essence. I'm telling you, folks, it's the essence of all sins are forgiven. Because what greater sin could you possibly do to your father than to dismiss him, not acknowledge him, and pretend he doesn't exist?
Yeah.
So then what is the difference if you don't acknowledge, don't, and you dismiss, and you ignore Jesus Christ?
Right.
There is no greater sin.
No, that's how Jesus said, if you deny me, then my Father will deny you. But
if you don't see me, I don't see you. If you don't hear me, I don't see you. So now, can they understand how words can put you to be a victim? You'll never make it home. You won't go to heaven. And I'm not saying you won't. I'm saying that there are a lot of people are, and the only person that they have to blame is themselves.
And that's the good part about how we can pick you up and give you encouragement.
Yeah, help people, because I've just made everybody
But there's such reality. I brought that point up. There's such reality to it. But folks, listen, this is the reason why Jesus even said in his Beatitudes, blessed are they, verse 6 of Matthew 5, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for his righteousness, for they shall be filled. What's hunger, folks? Hunger is intent. Hunger is passion, emotion, feeling. Hunger is something that gnaws at you from the inside. And folks, if you're hungry, and if you're listening to this broadcast, I would say, most likely, can't really speak for you, but I would say probably on average, everybody that's listening to the show is hungry. And if you're listening to this show more than once, I can pretty well guarantee that you are hungry. Because
starving,
if you haven't got
starving.
Offended by some of the reality checks that we've given. And again, I'm going to reiterate this because, you know, I'm trying to keep the happy balance to this. I'm going to reiterate, we are not trying to put anybody, and we are not putting anybody in a consciousness of sin. That is not what it's about. It's revealing that in this world, We have been conditioned, whether we know it or not. Isn't it interesting if you take somebody and you feed them a certain line of thought? What do? You pervert them to think that this is how life is. What if somebody were to tell you that's not how life is? In fact, BJ, I don't like using movies, but remember the movie with, in fact, my kids could tell me right away, the movie with Jim Carrey. And it was on a TV set that he thought was really life and the existence. And it was a big TV set, and everybody was actors. And he thought the parents were...
I'm aware of
remember that.
I never saw that movie, but I'm aware okay. of it. I understand
the
what you're saying.
The whole movie yeah. was like a soap opera, okay? A
yeah.
daily event of this guy's life. But he's the only one...
That's real.
Well, he's the only one that didn't know it was a movie.
Right.
So everybody are actors until at the very end, he finally gets in a boat to go across the pond. And when he goes across the pond, here's the interesting thing. He reaches the end of the pond and goes to touch beyond it, and it's a wall with a door. And he realizes, oh my goodness, this whole thing has been fake. All right, folks, that's the reason why we share the things that we do. Do we want to get to heaven and go, are you kidding me? You mean I've been involved in the folly of trying to have a confession in my hands, reading it 100 times a day to make it become my Savior, when the Savior is the meaning behind your confession, which comes from Jesus. And so we are not saying words are not important, because to God, they are exactly what He means, and they have the exact purpose behind them. And that purpose, God even said, it will be fulfilled. But we are trying to keep people from being victims of a society that wants to tear down the value that's behind the word.
The three hardest things about being saved that I found, because I'm in the 220s now.
Okay.
I've been saved for about 220 something days. Is the absoluteness, because people don't want absoluteness, because no matter what you buy, you can take it back to the store and either get the same thing or your money back or store credit. And it's like people get married with a prenuptial agreement. So if it doesn't work out, they know they're going to get a divorce. If you get a ticket, some states allow you to go to traffic school. It's dismissed off your record. I mean, it seems like everything that we do that is wrong, there's an excuse, a rationale, and a way not to pay the heavy price.
Very good.
You kill somebody with your car because you're drunk, they will commute your sentence by 50%. Well, that doesn't do anything for the family who lost a loved one because you were drunk driving and killed somebody. Parole, early release. No matter what the crime is, no matter how bad it is, we not as a society, but as a world understand, hey, come on, cut me some slack here.
Right.
Isn't there somebody I can like do some? Okay. The problem is we try to correlate the corruptness and the screwed upness of this unnatural world to the spirit world of God,
right,
where everything is absolute.
Yes.
You can't have absolute forgiveness and absolute, endless, boundless love if you're grading on a curve.
Right.
If
correct.
There's a gray area.
Right.
And people don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Because it scares them. Because it makes them think that possibly I'm doing something wrong and I'm not going to get a coupon from the Holy Spirit over this.
Well, they're treating it like frequent flyer miles. They got to add up enough free points.
But
to get
doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, it does. In fact, today, this is ironic, but today someone said to me, I enjoy so much what you're saying, but you know what I had the hardest time with? And I said, what was that? A few weeks ago, you said, talked about God's absoluteness. I've never heard that before.
No.
And that was really hard for me to understand.
Right.
And I said, well, without His absoluteness, there is no possibility of your faith and the consistency
of
the spirit world. And it has everything to do with God's grace.
You can't have absolute love. You can't have absolute forgiveness. You can't have all sins are forgiven if everything isn't absolute, because then it's almost like saying, well, you know, God's kind of teeter-tottery. You know, Jesus, you got to catch him on the right day.
Right.
If you catch him on the right day, you can get by with this. But if you don't, you're in trouble then. That doesn't make any sense.
No.
You know what that makes sense? That makes sense if you're full of stuff and you're not preaching spirit, you're preaching doctrine, and you're self-serving, and you're worried about the number of people in the cars in the parking lot, how many people are watching your television show, and how many envelopes full of personal checks and debit and credit cards you're getting.
Yep. Yeah, this is really good. And as we're coming to the close of our show, I'm just going to add this one thought. It's really, really interesting, folks, and I'll just share this quickly with you. You know, please, no one go away feeling like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. I mean, I don't know if I can be so accurate. Well, let me share something with you.
Well, that's help
the,
you.
That's the exactly. And that's the reason why Jesus was so accurate. His life was on display, not only to show God's love, but also as our representative. He became the one for us that identified with our folly so that we could identify with his exactness and his perfection and his grace. And I want to let you know tonight, glory to God, this is why the message of grace is so awesome. It brings us right back into the heart of God's ability to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. So I want you to recognize how words can be misconstrued, how we can be dumbed down by society to look at everything through the eyes of compromise, and all of a sudden this week begin to see the absoluteness of God. That God's word means what it says. It says what it means. And I'm telling you, if you've been struggling with sickness, begin to rehearse this time, by his stripes I was healed. Feel the meaning of God the Father who gave his only son to be brutally murdered on a cross. Take your sickness and bear your infirmity and think about that meaning, and the Spirit of God will come upon you and set you free. There is power in God's word. We don't have to play this game anymore. Prayer works. BJ?
You know, I want you to, you're going to say a prayer in a little bit. We're going to take the show about maybe 3 to 5 minutes long, so I want you to come up with a good prayer. But I want to say something. Okay, I don't want you to feel you're alone, because you're not. This show plays 24 hours, 7 days a week, all the time. There are people all over the planet. We're in 17 countries, and we've only had about 9 or 10 broadcasts. Why? Because we're doing not what is necessary. We're doing what is right spiritually. When I tell you that you're not alone and you have help, yes. Am I here helping you? Yes. Is Jim here helping you? Of course. But you have every other person out there just like you that have a hunger and a thirst for enlightenment and a better and closer relationship with God. Amen. But what's more important is you have it. You don't even need this radio show. You don't need the theories. You don't need the letters for your consideration. You don't need Jim or myself. You don't even need the other listeners of the show, because you have it, ladies and gentlemen. All you have to do is grasp it and hold it tight. It's called, I have a relationship with Christ. It's
Amen.
Yours.
Amen.
You don't even need the Bible. You have it. All you have to do is make a simple choice to accept it. And once you do, I'm telling you, things are going to go better. Things are going to be easier. And you're going to realize the folly and the just plain old dumb, stupid ridiculousness that makes you lose sleep at night, that takes your appetite away, that worries you, that you cry over. You don't have to do it. And you don't have to be special. All you have to do is make a simple, special little choice that says, you know what? I'm tired. Okay, you convinced me, God. You're my God. I'm here. And bam!
Yeah.
It's
Amen.
There.
That's good. Folks, are you hearing within just this last moment here? And I'm going to pray in just a second. But are you hearing that within what BJ just said right there, can you hear that he's talking about a relationship? That's really what it comes down to. When you know somebody, there is such meaning, not only in the relationship and how you respond to one another, but how you're able to take the understanding of your relationship into a hostile environment and stand your ground toe-to-toe against things that are trying to tell you otherwise. God never wanted us to walk in this earth without knowing him. Thank God for the Bible and being able to take the words of Christ and the words of the Apostle Paul and the Old Testament scriptures that give us a type and shadow of Jesus walking on the earth and his great victory over death, hell, and the grave. Thank God for the truth that, as the word says over in John chapter 8, thy word is truth and the truth will set you free. Thank God for truth, reality. But folks, tonight, let this reality, that we've studied for years. Let it become a relationship. It's not just words. It's God. God wants to invade your heart and your presence. God wants you to take a step beyond just being able to quote a scripture over into understanding the very heart and the very meaning of that scripture. You know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've got a family, and if you don't, I know you came from a family. I know there were moments in your life, in your family. Maybe someone would say, I didn't really have much of a family. But there were moments when you felt love, and you felt compassion, and you felt words. Well, folks, God's word is supposed to be felt. It's supposed to be experienced. That's why I said it, not to get wrapped up being Pharisees and legalists, but to experience him. So I want to pray for you tonight. Father in heaven, I thank you so much right now that even as the word of God helps us to see that we're supposed to awake unto righteousness, that would seem to indicate that maybe someone's sleeping concerning understanding the things that we're talking about, the rightness of God versus the unrighteousness or wrongness of this world. I ask you to take every hungry heart that's in here, that's listening at the sound of our voice, and magnify your truth, your enlightenment, your feeling, your emotion. Magnify your essence and your spirit in their life. Wake them up and let them wake up tomorrow to a renewed passion, excitement, and experience with you, Father God. And we'll give you praise and glory for it. And I've got a scripture that tells me something's happening right now. And I've also got a relationship that tells me something's happening right now. If you're hungry, folks, thank God you're being filled as I speak. Thank God you're receiving answers to this prayer as I talk. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we'll give you the praise and thanks for it, even before we hear the testimonies. Amen.
Folks, I want to tell you that was Jim Huckaday. That was a great prayer. We're going to have a part two of this show next week, which will be November 9th, 2011. Tonight's broadcast was Wednesday, November 2nd. You've got 7 days to email your questions and comments. If you're confused, say, hey, guys, I'm confused about this word thing. You got to help me out. There's a lot of people that actually we have more people listening to the show on the 24/7 loop than we do the live broadcast, which is why we do it. That's the whole purpose.
Yeah.
But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, think about what Jim said tonight. And please go to the For Your Consideration page. You'll see a letter that talks about words from myself. You'll see a letter that talks about intent from Jim. And take care of yourselves. Take care of your pets. Thank you for listening. And have a blessed week. We'll be here next Wednesday night to continue with this. And you did good.
Thanks, BJ.
Oh, I have to say thank you to Fred
yes.
in Germany.
Yes.
The man sent me bunches of chocolate. Thanks, Fred.
Thank you, Fred. It was great spending time with you.
Good night, folks.
Good night, folks.